Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today we're going to be talking about your obligations as a long distance partner. So, in the past, we've spoken repeatedly about when you're on the receiving end of certain behaviours, like if you feel like you're being ghosted or you're being ignored. We've said, you know, you have to have some consideration that both of you have interests, both of you have friends. It's normal for your partner to be busy and maybe not be able to look at their phone for a little while. But today we're going to look at it from the other perspective and say, if you are that person, if you know you're not going to be around for a while, and how to behave and act and just show some consideration to your partner.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we're always quite open with the fact that, like, we need to examine our own behaviors and make sure we're not being unrealistic in our expectations or being too demanding, or it's our insecurities that are driving that we think they're ghosting us and they actually aren't, or it's just that we think they're not talking to us enough, but maybe you're not being considerate of their situation. But like Rich said, it's completely turning it the other way now. So that's not to say that every issue in a relationship is with the person who thinks there's an issue. You know, a lot of times these problems start from somewhere. So it is kind of, I guess our thing that we've probably touched on in earlier episodes is if you go into a long distance relationship, you have to accept that this is different than a normal relationship. This is different than if you meet someone at work or through friends that lives in the same town or even half an hour away that you can see most days or quite easily every week, at least a couple times. You know, you have to extend certain courtesies that you maybe wouldn't feel that you had to do in a quote unquote normal relationship. And part of that is being present in a communicative way. And if you're not going to be present, communicating that you're not going to be present, because that's all you have. And if your partner is struggling with not hearing from you or whatever, it is your job, and it's not unreasonable for them to need some reassurance.
Yeah, I think, you know, because it's very easy to take for granted that, you know what you're doing, as stupid as that sounds. It's, you know, I'm at work, I can't look at my phone. It doesn't mean anyone else does know that. So if you put yourself in that person's shoes, and maybe that's even a few hours or potentially all day, potentially for whatever reason, it could be even longer than that, depending on what you're doing. If they don't know that you can't get to your phone, but actually you're perfectly safe, they've got a pretty big window of time to be getting increasingly concerned. Either that, like, on one end, it could just be annoyance that they're being ignored. On the other end, it could be agitation or genuine concern that you're okay. You know, and I saw a message yesterday from someone who said they'll message their partner and they won't get a response for a long time. But in the meantime, they see that they're posting on Facebook and stuff. So from their point of view, they're saying, well, this person's obviously online, so therefore I'm being ignored. And that may be true, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, they may be on Facebook for other reasons. Like, you may have different things on different devices. I mean, hypothetically, they may be using Facebook on the work browser but not have access to their phone. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked in an office where we had to have phones in our lockers, ridiculously. But you were allowed to be on, you know, during lunch break and stuff like that, you were allowed to go onto your social media networks and things. So if I had a message or a WhatsApp or, you know, anything that's on my phone, I wouldn't be able to look at it. I wouldn't be able to talk to you on it. But I would have been able to log into Facebook and other things, and people could have seen that I was doing activity. So the point is just, you know what you're doing, just communicate that to the people that need to know. So at least they'll know. And if they'll know, you're just sticking with this example, the concern is, well, how come you were doing this online but you weren't responding to me? Clearly you were online. And the answer is, well, yeah, my phone was hidden away. You know, I can't see my messages on the work computer kind of thing. There's just assumptions on both sides.
Yeah, and I think it's so easy to get anxious and nervous about what your partner's doing when you're in a long distance relationship, because there's just so much separation and so much distance, and that sounds dumb, but like, I just think some people need a lot more reassurance, and I was definitely that kind of person in our long distance relationship. Not that I didn't trust you necessarily, but that I needed to know you were okay. I needed to hear from you from time to, well, you know, pretty regularly. And I think the other thing is really tricky that you do see with even not long distance relationships, just people who are communicating on text or something. If you're having a bit of a heated discussion and it's through text or whatever, and you're not actually talking on the phone, don't just disappear in the middle of that. That's really unfair to do. If you think like, actually, I just can't talk about this right now, and you put your phone down, like that's a fair enough healthy behavior in terms of like, look, we're not getting anywhere. But you need to express that. I mean, think of it as when you're in the middle of a heated debate and your partner, if you're in the same house, just gets up, gets in the car and drives away. Like that's really hurtful, really scary. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't leave things hanging like that. You can absolutely say, look, we're not getting anywhere. I'll give you a call in an hour. Let's just kind of take a breather. And then your partner knows what to expect. So you know your situation in life, like Rich just said, whether that's when you're at work or what your obligations are or what you're able to commit to. You just need to be able to communicate that and manage your partner's expectations.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's one example. I mean, there are also scenarios where I see semi-regularly people who, like, they get blocked by their partner online temporarily, you know. And so that appears to manifest in numerous ways. Some of it's that they will ignore them for a few days, or they'll block them on social media for a few days, or whatever it may be. That's kind of turning the dial a little bit on what we're talking about before, where that is deliberate, clearly inappropriate behaviour. Like, mm-hmm. if you imagine doing it when you're married, like, I'm moving out for a weekend. Like,
what's the same thing? It's like getting up and just storming out. Like, yeah, you do walk out of arguments and stuff, but you shouldn't really.
I mean, if you feel the need to... if you feel the need to block your partner on your social platforms, that's indicative of a problem. With one of you. Either they're being so unpleasant that you feel the need to do it, in which case you should walk away from the relationship, or you're blocking people very little reason and you're being unreasonable and they should probably walk away from you.
You just don't want to deal with something, or...
Yeah, and there's an immaturity there, you know, but you shouldn't... If you can't communicate... If you can't communicate because you don't know how to, that's your problem. And if you can't communicate because you don't know how... Because, you know, however you say it, they're going to take it the wrong way, that, you know, you need some space or whatever it is you need. If they're not letting you say that, then, you know, that's a problem that also needs dealing with. But either way, the response of just blocking them and cutting them out and giving yourself some enforced downtime for however long it is, like, that's not...
It's very childish behaviour.
Yeah, it at best it's childish behaviour. Like, at worst, that's incredibly toxic, manipulative behaviour. And either of you or both of you shouldn't tolerate it. Like, the first time that happens should be the last time it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard. And I think people who, you know, we always say most people get into a long distance relationship knowing that this is a different level of commitment. But some people might be a bit naive to that.
Oh, yeah.
And just think, yeah, it's fine, whatever. Like, just see what happens. But if one of you is more serious than the other, you know, one of you might be shocked, you know, that, oh, they expect to hear from me all the time and they don't.
That's true of any relationship, I think.
Yeah, but I think going into long distance, there does need to be some form of understanding that this is going to take more work. And
yeah, especially if you've got time zones involved. Because, you know, there's inconvenience there.
Oh, yeah.
The times when I'd be sat down of an evening with my family, we'd just put a film on, and he'd be like, I need to talk to you. Well, can we give it an hour? No, it needs to be now. You know, there's a lot of films. I don't know what happened at the end.
Sorry.
And that's just because of the time zones. It was my evening, it was your lunchtime, or whatever it was with when you were teaching. You know, you'd get off work, you'd finish work early afternoon, wouldn't you? So then that was like 10 o'clock to me, so I was still awake. And
was it midnight?
So I was thinking when you teach, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so yeah, that was... There were the occasional times I couldn't, if I was genuinely doing something else. But otherwise, you know, you make that time, but... If you're not prepared to, if it's going to be, oh, this is a big inconvenience, I'm trying to play games with my friends, whatever it is you're trying to do, like, that's potential conflict, and that's when both of you need to say, you know, actually, are we prepared to do this? Because mm-hmm. If you don't want to put down whatever it is you're doing and spend time with your partner, then you don't have to. Maybe that's, you know, indicative that this isn't really where I want to go. On the other hand, if it's just, well, I do want this, but leave me alone for an hour. Like, are you prepared for it? There's a few things to think about.
There is also, slightly looking at the other side, like, if everything's okay, if your partner just misses you and just wants to talk, it's not that something bad has happened or they're really concerned about something or you need to work something out, you don't have to talk to them every single time. Like, if you are out with friends or you are at a family function, you're at a wedding, like, just let them know ahead of time, like, I'm not going to be able to talk. Like, you knew that when I was up in the front of a classroom teaching, you wouldn't hear from me for a while. Like, I couldn't look at my phone. Like, I was up in front, teaching kids. And then I also knew, like, there was a certain town you'd go visit where you went to uni, and the signal was shocking. And
even now, 10 years later on, I still can't get signal.
It's better.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, not in 2009. It was awful. Like, this is when, like, 3G was brand new, so it was a real struggle. And so when you would go there, if you're going for a couple nights, be like, hey, you're probably not going to hear from me. If I get signal, I'll pop you a message and say, hey, but, like, just be prepared to not hear from me. And then, when, like, you had a really good friend that would come and stay, like, when you had a week off, you both had a week off, and you just hang out, watch action films, go to the pub, play video games. Yeah, it was a real bromance. And I would hear from you plenty with messages and stuff, but you're just like, hey, I don't really feel like it's polite for me to go into a room and shut the door and talk to you for an hour, and he's, like, literally here to see me. Like, he's going to hang out with my mom, and I understood that. And it was okay. Just as long as, and I understood that the messaging would also be more intermittent. I didn't like it.
But it's just...
But I didn't make a fuss about it. It was like, oh, okay, that's fair. I miss you, but okay.
Yeah, and it's setting expectations. I clarified that up front, as always. Did you with what you were doing. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, it's of course, it's okay to say, hey, I didn't really appreciate that. I didn't know where you went. Like,
yeah.
That can happen. Now, that will happen. Same thing. That will happen when you live together too. But it's, extending the courtesy as much as you can. And then, 9 times out of 10, I think they'll be understanding about it.
Yeah, and the other thing that comes in with courtesy is if you say you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm going to call you at this time, and you don't, your partner will be worried about all kinds of things. Did something happen to you? Are you no longer interested? Like, it's so easy to ghost someone in the online world, whereas it's much more difficult to do that in real life because you can go to each other's houses, you see each same people, you see each other out. So if you say, yeah, I'm free to talk tomorrow morning, and then you don't, like, obviously your situation's allowed to change. If your situation, something pops up, something urgent happens, an emergency, as soon as you can, message them and say, I'm really sorry, I can't do this. Even if it's after the fact, even if you can't message them until half an hour after you were supposed to call, just as soon as you can, really sorry, something urgent's happened, I'll call you tonight, or I'll call you as soon as I can. Like, do what you say. It's really important because you just end up really disappointing people.
Yeah, well, and on that note, it's important to remember, like, when you get into a relationship with someone, you're also taking on all their baggage. So some people don't need all this reassurance and communication, and they're like, oh, hear from me when I hear from you, like, whatever. Some people have a real underlying need to know that you're okay, to know that you're not walking out on them, to know that nothing bad happened to you. Like, and, it's a consideration just to respect that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to consider with that. Is it unrealistic? Are they being over the top?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. Like, you can set your boundaries on it, but if it's, I'll say I'll call you at 2 and then you don't, if their mind's going to be thinking, oh my God, something's happened to you, it's 3, 4, 5 o'clock, I've still not heard from you, like, what's going on? A lot of people would worry in that situation. If you know that they've had certain hardships in the past, you need to be mindful of that with your behaviours. And it, like, even if it's that you can't call them, but you said you would, like, then maybe just think, well, next time I won't promise I'll call you. Like, we've heard that. If you said, I need to know, I said to you, well, look, I can't actually guarantee it. I would if I can, but signal's ropey or my battery can die or I'm not sure what the timings are going to be. So, like, you just kind of, you can just tell them the truth that I don't really know what's happening here today. It's an unknown quantity. I'll do what I can, but I can't promise it.
Yeah.
Like, it just comes down to setting expectations respectfully, not just saying, yeah, I'll do that to get them off your back in the moment because you're going to set yourself up for a disaster later on.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the thing is like, your life should be better and improved in many ways when you're in a relationship. So think about that. Like, is what you're doing making your partner's life more stressful, more upsetting, or is it making it better? Like, not everything about their life is down to you. Not everything's your responsibility, but wouldn't you agree that, like, you should, overall, your life should be improved by bringing someone into
it? Yeah, we've said that a whole bunch of times. A relationship should be a net positive.
Yeah.
Not everything positive. Like, you're going to have to start sharing your time, maybe sharing your resources. Sometimes you're going to the cupboard to eat something and it's not there anymore because they got there first. Yeah, but on balance, you should be better off.
I like that's the biggest negative in our relationship.
Well, last night I wanted peanut butter and crackers. I was like, oh, the crackers aren't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there will be things like that, like these genuine troubles I have to deal with. But yeah, on balance, it should be better. In any number of ways. Like, ultimately, that comes down to, do I feel happier? I wouldn't look at it as a business decision of, well, I'm fucking miserable, but there's more money in the house. Like, you know, I wouldn't take that approach to it. But on balance, are you happier? Do you have more opportunities? Are you just feeling more, like, content, I suppose, more complete? Then that's how it should be.
And on the flip side, you know, if someone's going into a relationship expecting that everything about their life is going to be wonderful and every single need of theirs is going to be met 100% of the time, that's completely unrealistic. If you want to get into a relationship with a carbon copy of yourself, then that's the best way to do it. But with a real, like, flesh other human being, as much as they love you, and even if their top priority in life is to make you happy, they can't always, especially if there's distance involved. Like, you just can't always be perfect. You're your own human. They're going to have their own thoughts, their own needs, their own wants, their own commitments. That means that you can't always be their first thought and priority.
Yeah, I mean, I knew someone who could never, no relationship was good enough for them because they'd built up that they needed this Disney relationship. Now, they grew up on Disney films, had this phenomenal collection of them, and they openly, it wasn't like some psychological analysis where you'd look at them and think, this is why you're unhappy. Like, they'd openly say, like, this is why I need, I want prince, princess kind of thing. And you kind of think, well, how realistic is that? You know?
Know this person?
You don't know this person. I know someone from years ago, but...
Did you date this person?
No, I didn't. But, you know, like, the... you're sort of setting yourself for failure there.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to be grounded in this and, you know, not look at what other people have. It's really, really hard when, you know, you're in a long-distance relationship and your friends aren't, and you see the things that they're able to do. Try not to compare it, because everything's changed by the distance, and not always for the worse. And you're going to have a much more amazing bond than a lot of people, potentially. But, you know, it's kind of the grass is greener sort of thing. Like, you know, we struggled through long distance. We didn't have to do it for as long as a lot of people do, but it was hard. It took its toll on us. It especially took its toll on me with my mental health and stuff. And it was really hard, but, like, we made it through, and I knew that the positives were more important and absolutely weighed out the negatives. But then I tell people our story, and everyone loves our story, and it is unusual, and it's, you know, it's, I love it. Still need to write that screenplay so we can make our millions on our romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I actually met people who pursued people on the other side of the world and said, it's because I want what you want or what you have. I want what you have. I want that story. I want that amazing experience.
Us?
Yeah. And I was just like, why would you put yourself through that? If, like, I didn't, yeah, we pursued it, but, like, in a lot of ways, the situation fell in our lap and we got to know each other and we realized how much we cared about each other. So then we decided to pursue it. I would never have been like, right, I need to find a guy in England. And I wouldn't have done that. You know, in my mind, I thought I'd marry a local guy and it'd be a lot easier. But
then even now it has, it's difficult. Like we said, we've done a whole episode on it, that when you close the distance here, you open the distance with everyone else.
Yeah, I haven't seen my family in 2 years because of COVID, but
yeah,
also because of where I live. That makes it more difficult to travel during COVID.
So you always
can't go into the country because of COVID.
No, I can't go into the country. And then, yeah, I've got very little to complain about because it means I get to go to California. Everything's, you know, we stay with family, it's paid for. But if I was to be, if we're going to say, look, we don't go on holidays, because we go there. Like, much, yeah. That doesn't bother me because that's a nice place to go.
Yeah.
It could, if you come from like a real different, unpleasant place to be, like...
Like Ohio? Like, I don't know anything about Ohio. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, but you may come from somewhere where it has no interest for me.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's one thing to say, oh, I get to just hang out in Hollywood.
You're fine. So lucky that I... Well, we're both so lucky that I come from where I do because you love cowboy-like stuff. For some reason, you feel like you're drawn to that. You love Hollywood. You love music. You love films.
Yeah.
You love sun. Like, who doesn't? Yeah, no, beaches, like...
I've lucked out on it.
Yeah.
But if I was being... Maybe petulant to the world. I say, well, I want to go to New York next. Well, I want to go to Spain next. I'm like, it puts certain limitations on. So that's always going to be the case that we, like, it's, I think some, and you have to be focused on closing the distance and then closing the distance. But you also have to be mindful of the fact that there are still going to be challenges afterwards as a result of the distance.
Yeah, you know?
And we,
it's not over.
We spoke about this quite a lot. We, in our Ultimate Guide to Long Distance Relationships, that we have a whole chapter on life after the distance. We mentioned this, like, there are new challenges, ones that are probably easier to deal with because at least you're doing it together. And if you're a couple that doesn't need to see your family that often, then what we're talking about right now won't be such an issue.
Mm.
You know, you love to see your family. I like to see your family, but you're very close to them. So that will vary from one relationship to another. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, even with, like, going back to, like, if you want to be petulant about it, it's like, well, we never get to go to France or we never get to go to Italy because we always go to America. But, like, even as much as you love it there is still a bit of push and pull. Like, you know... I'm literally just there to see my family, which is very important to you, but of course it's not as important to you as it is to me.
Yeah, I like to see stuff, yeah.
So it's like, you're very good and you're very patient, but then it's like, okay, so we saw this friend today, we've sat and hung out with the nieces and nephews today, we've seen your grandparents, you know, it's like, okay, so what are we going to do something fun? Like,
yeah.
So typically what we do is, like, because the first day is so exhausting and you're so jet-lagged, we usually land in an evening of an evening, and the next morning we go out and have, like, a big day in LA and do what you want to do, so that, one, we stay awake because we're out busy doing stuff, and two, we make sure that, like, the first day you get to do the things you want to do for the most part, so that throughout the rest of the trip it's not like we need to try and make sure, like, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's, like I said, there's just some give and take.
Yeah, of course, it's, that's natural.
I'm lucky that I enjoy the company of your family, and...
Who couldn't? They're wonderful.
You know, they've got space and stuff for us to be there. So it's not like, don't give the impression I hate it and I have to have my one day.
No, but it is your vacation, and, like, I would feel the same. Like, I really love your family, but it's not as big a deal to me to spend time with them as it is to you. And it's even bigger, magnified for me, because mine are so far away. Yours are, you know, most of them, all of your family is within an hour.
Yeah, well, this is another example of just managing expectations and having communication, because either one of us could not talk about our own feelings in this, and soul could make it difficult for the other one. And it's something we, from the beginning, we've known, but we've had to just figure stuff out. So
I mean, we have this, last time we were out there, it was for my brother's wedding, and it had been a lot of full-on family stuff, and I think we'd had a little bit of an argument, and it had just been a bit of a tiring few days. We hadn't landed 2 days before.
Yeah, it was jet lag and then long wedding days.
Yeah, and lots of activities.
Which are hard at the best of times.
Oh yeah, it's exhausting. But it was wonderful. But also, something happened. We had an argument. Nothing serious, but we were annoyed with each other and we were jet lagged. And, you know, you were just really off. And I could tell you were just, it wasn't that you were being a jerk. You were just unhappy. You were tired. We'd argued. You just felt like you couldn't make any decisions about stuff. And so I was like, okay, well, how do I fix this? And we were going to spend the day with my mom and dad. So we just decided, I decided, like, okay, we're going to go to this museum that I know you'd like. We're going to go to this restaurant that is your favorite restaurant. So we get to do the things that you like to do, but I'm so easygoing that I don't mind doing those things. And my parents are so easygoing, but they don't mind. So I got to spend a day with my family and make sure you were happy. Mm-hmm. And you immediately brightened up once we got to that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't shut up.
No.
And you were happy.
Yeah, I was happy, yeah.
Like a toddler.
Give me some food. It's all good.
So, yeah, it's just be generous with your time and be honest about it when you can't be and be upfront. That's really all it takes.
Yeah. And go and get our guide if you want more information on...
Anything. About life. No, we cover everything. There's a master cookery course in there.
Physics.
There is a financial guide. The physics is a bit spotty because we're not too science-y.
Yeah.
But everything else...
For anyone who's confused right now, this isn't true.
No.
On our website, there's a link to... In the resources, we've got the Ultimate Guide to Long-Distance Relationships, which has an awful lot of information on what to do while you're still long-distance. But then at the end, there's a whole section on closing the distance and then another whole section on life after the distance where we share some of the wisdom that we had no idea...
And we wish we had.
Yeah, we had to figure it all out by ourselves, and we thought, let's help the people who are doing this now. So, yeah, you can get that on our website, longdistancetomarriage.com.
Yes, that's correct, you can. Maybe we should put a general knowledge guide out, too, since we've made this empty promise.
Like cookery and physics.
Yes. Okay. I think animals. We know a lot about animals.
Yeah, be on the lookout for this if you aren't tomorrow.
Zoology guide. Have a good week, guys.